Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the main event. You're here with me, Daniel.
And Aaron.
Aaron, it's been so long since I've seen that ugly mug of yours. I've missed it immensely. How you been?
Yeah, been all right. We've travelled around a little bit. The last time Champions League was on, I was driving to London. So, I mean, the last time I saw you, you're doing a lot better than when I saw you last time because that was fresh off the Haaland captaincy, none, not even having
Well, I
him in the team.
didn't even own him, mate. Didn't even own him. I've forgotten about that.
So you're doing better. Sorry to rub in the old wounds.
I've forgotten about that, and here I am. Yes, this pod now just got instantly darker, Aaron. We're now living in the
I can
darkest
turn the
time.
light on if you want.
Yes, please. Gracias. Because it has been a while, we haven't actually went through what we thought of the draw. I got COVID. I was just basically dying for about 3 or 4 weeks. Literally, honestly, thought I was going to die at one point.
Are you feeling better now?
So
Is it worse than when the first time you had it?
it's the worst I've had it. Yeah, I've had it a lot. I think this is the third time I've had COVID. I get it once a year. But it's, yeah, the first time was annoying because I lost my taste and smell for 2 weeks. The second time I was just a bit under the weather, it's a bit flu-y. This time was it la lasted 4 or 5 weeks, and it was like fevers, like change disgusting area of the pod, changed my t-shirt like 3 or 4 times a night, and like it was soaking wet. My lungs
Yeah,
were
at
on
least you
fire.
had game week 39 tryouts.
Yes, well, I mean, that was it. Like I went I obviously so I played in the first one, and then Benny Blanco was like, "Dan, see how you're feeling." Because I rang around, basically said, "Like, there's just no chance I can come down here. But come on, just see how you're feeling." So I drugged up, went down, and they said I was the only trialist set to play the full 90 minutes. That had to change. The first 20 minutes, I didn't look like I deserved to be anywhere near a football pitch. It was horrendous. Like, it was awful. And then I think I still end up playing another 45, 50 minutes later on, I played all right. So that was okay. But that made me feel worse. I got back and my lungs just felt like shredded wheat. And every time I breathed in, it was like pouring hot milk over them for about 2 and a bit weeks. And I got worse. Like I got worse and worse. So yes, that is why we haven't done anything really. So apologies for that, but we will go through what we actually think of the draw. And then we'll get into the teams. There's only 8 teams left, so there's not an abundance to go through. And I think some of this is relatively straightforward anyway. I don't think we're going to be tearing up too many trees. I think it's we're probably just going to be targeting what should you do with these 5 transfers more than anything else? Who should you really be looking to get in? Where are your rotation risk? We'll try and go through as best as we can any injuries. But they are a little confusing because managers are keeping tight-lipped about everything. So, Aaron, what was your instinct when you saw the draw? Just let's remind everyone, the draws are Benfica versus Inter, Man City versus Bayern Munich, Real Madrid versus Chelsea, and Milan versus Napoli. Obviously, we don't have to go into it in too much detail. Just what was your gut instinct?
I think Man City and Bayern Munich was the standout tie, and then also all the Italian teams being on one side of the draw, I think with it was kind of my standout reactions to when I first heard it.
Yeah, I think my first thing was, oh my God, one of the Milan teams, Napoli or Benfica, are going to play in the Champions League final, which I just find really exciting. It's just, see, it's nice to have a different team. Obviously, in my lifetime, both Inter Milan and AC Milan have played in finals. I think Inter in one, which they won it in, off the top of my head. And AC Milan in my lifetime actually played in a whole bunch of finals. But I can remember, in terms of me being able to watch them, I've seen them play in 3 finals. They won 2 of them and lost 1 of them. So I know that obviously we've got lots of AC Milan fans as listeners, and you're an AC Milan fan. But from a personal perspective, I would like to see Napoli or Benfica play in the final. Just is it something new for them? It's nothing against either Milan club. I like them both a lot.
I agree with you from that point of view that I think Napoli and Benfica will give a lot more competitive final. I think just with the state of the Milan teams at the moment, I think it because I think the favourite will come from the other side of the draw anyways, but yeah, I want it to be as competitive as possible. And I don't think the Milan matches, like Man City faces any of the Milan teams at the moment. I mean, Chelsea beat AC Milan twice, and that's Chelsea. Like,
but I think obviously Milan had about 14 players out for one of them games.
They still won. They're still, and that's Chelsea won about. Like,
yeah, and the thing is, obviously, we're going to form in a moment, but it there's concern for Napoli as well in certain areas. When we look back at this moment for context, the favourite is definitely coming from the other side with Bayern versus Man City. Cancelo allowed to play against his old team, or current team as it is. Chelsea. I don't know how you see it. I don't know if anyone's seen that that meme where it's like the three or four commandos like waiting to go around the corner, and then there's a clown there, and it's just like, it's just such a bad side of the draw for Chelsea. But I mean, at least they can focus on their relegation battle that they've got for the Premier League when they get knocked out. So that, and it gives us a team to target, really. Which again we'll get into, but do you have who you think's going to win this already? Just from looking at both sides of the draw,
The winner of the whole tournament.
Yeah,
I had two teams, both from the other side. I probably would say Man City are the favourites at the moment if I had to choose one, and it was between Man City and Real Madrid for me.
I think they have to be the two outstanding favourites. And I'd still say Real Madrid. Just, they're big, big game players. We've seen it again. We've seen it again in the league where they've been getting bored at times and a little bit of rotation. And then the 1-0 down on aggregate of Barcelona in the Copa del Rey, and the goal that would then smash them 4-0 when they want to turn it on. So I'd still say, because of the big moments and the experience and the type of players that they are, I don't want Real Madrid to win it again. I just think it's boring. And like literally anyone else, not.
It's weird because I would rather Real Madrid, like Real Madrid or Champions Leagues, is starting to become like Man City or Premier Leagues, and I'd much prefer Real Madrid. But I don't know why.
No, definitely not. The only team I don't want to win it is Man City. And I know this is really cheeky, and I am being playful when I say this, but I want Newcastle to win a Champions League before Man City. And I just think that'd be absolutely hilarious when we win it next year.
I don't know if you've seen that we're going to be unbearable next year.
We've lost every single subscriber to this channel.
Because basically, like, the supercomputer that the Premier League sometimes runs have now placed 83% chance of Newcastle getting into the Champions League next year.
Newcastle assets inbound. To be fair, assets.
And I'm like, no, I still can't shake that 17%.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
just knowing that we've got Tottenham coming up, yeah. That's huge. I think if VAR had worked, I know this is a different topic, I think I would feel a lot more comfortable.
Yeah. Whether it worked for us earlier in the season or worked for Brighton at the weekend. But yeah, I don't want to get into that because I'll have to get my tin hat on and all that sort of stuff with how any team that seems to threaten that top six, the ridiculous decisions and apologies they've got to receive is just a joke.
Yeah.
But yeah, to be fair, there was a sort of poll, how do you think Newcastle would do in the Champions League? And people were like, oh, round of 16 easy and all this sort of stuff. And I laughed and said, and I'll say it now, if Newcastle get in the Champions League next year, I think we will finish third in the groups. I think we'll get knocked out the first round of games in the Europa League. And I think we'll finish somewhere between 9th and 11th in the league.
Yeah, it happens. There's always a team in Europe that can't. West Ham this year can't battle.
Yeah, the only way that we'd be able to do it is if we didn't sell anyone, except for maybe like some of the real deadwood, like Mankio and stuff, and then we'll buy six. Yeah, we've got. I think we've already sold 15 million. We got for him. We need six or seven players, and I suppose it depends on those six or seven players. But yeah, no, for anyone that is concerned about Aaron and I, we aren't overly biased Newcastle fans. I don't think, I mean, like a little bit, but actually we're quite measured.
Do I think that Guimaraes is the best midfielder who's ever played in the Premier League? Yes, but I'm not biased.
And he's the best defender and he's the best striker. But that's pretty obvious. Everyone knows that. Aaron, let's jump into what people want. They've came here for teams that are actually in the Champions League, not just our dreams. So we'll start with Benfica Inter, as this is what the UEFA website has listed as their first game. So a little bit of go through first of all, just a little bit of clearing things up. So what I've done is I've had a look when I go through these teams. I've just looked at the last five league games. I do keep an eye on things as they go through anyway, but just won't actually these just so they're in front of me. Last five league games, if there's anything notable for cups, like they played someone good in a cup, example Real Madrid, Barcelona, then yes, have a little look at that. But for the last five league games, Benfica have won four, but they lost at the weekend to FC Porto, which is important because it's a team of Champions League quality Porto. So they lost 2-1. The major concern is that Bar got injured. So the right-back Bar, who has been absolutely tremendous for them, injured, which means Gilberto will likely play. Now, I think Gilberto, if you've got a wild card left and you're not playing it this week, again, I think I might be speaking to eight people, then Gilbert was like a really good pick, I think. But long term, you're not going to want him because Barr will come back at some point. I don't think this is going to be him out for the season. And if you were looking to go for extra Benfica defenders, then you just have to go for someone else. I imagine everyone's already got Grimaldo. If you don't, he's number one choice. You could have Vlachodimos in goal. And then the same centre-backs start every single game, Silva and Otamendi. So there you go to. The other bit of noticeable rotation is Neres and Silva. Rafa Silva rotating in the 10. Neres has played the odd game on left wing as well. I'd say Neres is performing better than Silva in the league at the moment. But Ramos and João Mario are still scoring goals. So I don't think you overthink this one for me personally. Go for a single or double up in defence. Nothing more at this stage. Ramos and João Mario. They're your four assets. Anything from you, Aaron?
Otamendi's suspended for this match. As well. So that's almost like two out of the back four that are missing. I think that's key. Something I had a look at was past kind of home and away Champions League form over the whole tournament as a whole. And surprisingly, I would say that when kind of looking at home form, Benfica have conceded the most goals at home out of any of the teams that are left. They've conceded five, granted that they did have Paris Saint-Germain and Juventus in their group, but yeah, like I think that's key. They're a lot better away from home in the Champions League, but that's also in the league as well in terms of they've conceded, and the last six games they've conceded five, but away from home in the last six away games they've only conceded one. So they're better away from home. And so I think that granted it is against Inter, but I think that the defenders, I wouldn't go too crazy on them just yet. That's why you said don't go triple up or anything crazy at the moment. I wouldn't anymore. And out of all of the teams left in the Champions League, Two teams have conceded 8 goals, which is the most: Benfica and Real Madrid. So which I think is interesting because they're the two defenses that arguably we're going to try and target.
Yes. I suppose the only way of judging the strength of Benfica assets, I mean, obviously, I think people are looking for differentials at this point. I think we need to look at Inter first, and then we can have like a real discussion. So Inter, obviously, you know more about the Italian league than I do. Just to quickly run through, have only won one of their last 5 league games. They've lost 3 and drawn 1-1 at the weekend. Things that I've noticed: Robin Gosens is back on the menu, as he got a goal at the weekend. He's getting more playing time. He was subbed off in the 75th minute at the weekend, which is good for X-Mins.
That's because of the lack of centre-backs.
Yes. So Darmian has been playing right-sided centre-back. So Denzel Dumfries' minutes look better too. And that, you've just alluded to that. Skriniar's got some back problems. I don't really know what's going on because De Vrij and Acerbi rotated at one point. Surely just play them both. Just play them both. Other injuries, Çalhanoğlu's injured, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, he's confirmed to be out already.
And I suppose the next question that I want, when we go through the defenders and things like that as well, is who's going to start, Handanovic or Onana? Because Onana seems to have been playing the Champions League game, but Handanovic got important minutes in that loss to Juventus. Was Juventus that... Or, that was in the draw to Juventus in the cup.
Yeah, so Onana seems to be the competition keeper. He's played every single cup and Champions League match. Handanovic has played in every league, well, most league matches other than when he's injured. Obviously, we'll get to see the team sheet, which is massive, but I think Onana is probably going to be the one who starts, which annoyingly with the draw, these are the two goalkeepers that I have.
Same, exactly the same, which is important.
I'm more likely to keep the Benfica goalkeeper than Onana, just with their Benfica in a lot better form. And I see them more likely to go through. So that's who I'm leaning towards.
Talk to me about Inter. What's going wrong for them? What's going right for them?
I think a lot of what is going wrong is when you look at kind of the score lines and stuff like that, it'll paint a very different picture to what's actually happening in the matches. So just to touch on one of my old nemesis, Martinez. He missed 3 chances in the last match. One of them with expected goal type thing.
XG
of 0.98, and he missed.
Wow. I don't think I've ever heard of that before. I don't think there is a chance with 1 XG, unless the ball's on the line. I don't think there's a chance.
He was literally on the line, hit it, went off the post and out. Mental. But he's doing so many of that. So people are referring to him, are kind of referencing the World Cup Lautaro, that he kept missing all them chances. Obviously, he still won the World Cup, but he didn't cover himself in glory.
No.
Lukaku is back, gets red carded for celebrating.
That's a joke. For anyone that isn't aware of this, he received racial abuse from the Juventus fans. He scored a pen, and then did he just stand there and do this to them all?
No, his celebration is...
it was a salute, wasn't it? He saluted them.
That has been a celebration for the past few months, to be fair. So, and then got red carded.
It's totally insane. hopefully gets rescinded, because thankfully he got red card in like the 90 something minute and had no effect on the game.
And then Handanovic got red carded as well, I think.
He did get red carded with Cuadrado, and that's also a joke, because at the end of that game, Handanovic was just minding his own business and Cuadrado was getting into him. And Handanovic was just like, look, just leave it. And you could see Handanovic on more than one occasion just saying, oh, look, just leave it, mate, and trying to walk away. And every time he tried to walk away, Cuadrado was like grabbing his arm. And then he's just lost his head, just like, get away. And even then after that, he didn't do enough to get red carded. I don't even think he did enough to get booked anyway.
Yeah.
So I think the referee, I know that there's been lots of speculation on like sort of criticism towards English referees, and rightly so, because they are garbage. But my God, some of them in other countries are horrendous. And yeah, this referee shouldn't be allowed to referee football matches.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, obviously, that it's a whole nother debate about big teams paying off refs, with Barcelona getting investigated as well. With that red card, I've just remembered that was the cup game. So Handanovic, I guess, has been playing in the Coppa Italia. So it's going to be interesting. I think with that rotation risk, you probably do favour the Benfica keeper anyways, because you don't want it to get to next week and then you don't know what keeper's going to play. So the thing is with Inter as well, just going back to them, is that they've actually been playing a lot of their matches away from home recently, or in the cups. So their home form, other than the last one against Juventus, before that, they kind of went on a little bit of an unbeaten run where they've beat Milan, Napoli, and they drew a Lazio. Drew or beat? Can't remember off the top of my head. I've just wrote down a bunch of score lines. But like at home, they're better, which I think is the second leg of this tie is going to be absolutely huge, because Inter are way better at home and Benfica are a lot better away. So I'm quite excited for the second leg. So never mind the first. So I'm almost trying to like guess players and almost use this match as a way for me to decide which players stay in my match in the next match day's team, because obviously I want to focus on the people who play on the first day, to because I know the people who are going to start, and then depending on which battles go better, I can then, and depending on the score line of the first leg, I can then start to keep them players in, or if there's any punts that I want to take, I can maybe like choose to double up or triple up on Benfica defense, or reverse it and Inter get some of their defenders or something. And I don't know. I think that this is going to be the match on the second day where I think most of the punts and most of the differentials are going to be.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a striker that many people own that will need replaced, if not two strikers that many people own that will need to be replaced. And one of the players from this game, I think Gonçalo Ramos against a depleted Inter Milan defence, could be just an absolute knocking bet to get goals in this game. The other thing is, depending on, you know, if Bar's injured and you don't want to be troubling up, or you're not really sure where else to go, I think Gosens could be a really good pick, especially up against a right back that hasn't played many games this year.
And is Otamendi the right-sided centre-back as well?
I don't think so. I think he's the left-sided centre-back. I think.
If it was right-sided, then definitely you would take that punt, wouldn't you? But no, I think with Ramos, definitely stuck out. And with that goal against Porto as well, I don't know if you saw it, but I think in a fantasy-type game, that would have counted as his goal, because he headed it at the keeper and then the keeper like hit it into the net. But it was originally on target. So I think it was just he hit it right at his hands and the keeper like hit it like almost like volleyball into the roof of the net. So
Yeah, I'm surprised that's been on goal then.
Yeah, anyway. So it was kind of, when I looked at it, I thought I was kind of deceiving. So if we add all that together, in Benfica's last six games, he's scored 7 goals.
Yeah, just has to be. How do you think I know?
And gotten 2 assists.
Yeah.
What
do you think the score's going? Oh, unless for someone else, got anything else? Any other nuggets?
No, I just think Neres is the most interesting with 3 goals. Obviously, some of them coming off the bench, like in the Champions League.
This is it. Minutes are all over the place.
Yeah,
all over.
I think he's interesting. But I don't, unless you have a wild card or anything, and you just need to make a massive rank kind of rise. Yeah. Is he a striker, actually? If he's a striker, then no, just he's not even worth it. I think he might be a striker.
On the game?
Yeah. He's one of them which should have been a midfielder. I think he's a striker off the top of my head, so never mind. But either way, I think he's interesting.
Try to find out for you. What do you think the score's going to be?
I have Benfica just with Inter's away form. They've not won in any of their last 6 away matches. I think Benfica will win 3-1.
That's my scoreline as well, 3-1. Neres is a forward. Yeah, I think it'll be 3-1 as well. So
I don't think Benfica will keep a clean sheet, which is annoying. But I think the clean sheet will come in the next match day.
Yes, I agree. I think we've only got hope really for one clean sheet from these 4 games. So moving on to the next game, Man City versus Bayern Munich. Man City have won the last 5 games in a row. Haaland is back. Of course he is. Jack Grealish is officially class now. KDB has started playing some sweet, sweet music as well again with his feet. But ultimately, the same thing that is scary today is what has always been scary with Man City, and that is rotation. And that's whether it's this game week or the next one. Now, it's a little bit easier for this one. And if anything, this is another one of those instances where actually we preferred the early team news for the second leg, because they're probably going to be relatively unchanged from Southampton, I imagine. Stones came off early. Grealish is too good to drop at the minute. Haaland came off early. I just don't think there's any real... Mahrez came off early. I feel like I could comfortably say what the Man City team sheet's going to be. But players that you'd want to pick, at least. So, feels like a bit of a waste, whereas in a couple of weeks' time, Foden's going to be back. And by that point, we don't know really who's going to be playing. So, this is one of those where I'd much prefer the Real Madrid lineup against Chelsea this week. But it is what it is. It means that, you know, for at least 1 week, you can go in hard. I still don't think you want loads of players from Man City, but one thing that I would say is you're going to want attackers, especially with Bayern Munich's defence. You're going to need 2 Man City. You're going to need Haaland. If you're a mug like me that doesn't have him after last week or the last game week, you just have to have him. And I'm sure his record against Bayern Munich was impressive for Dortmund as well. He used to do well against them. What do you think of Man City? Like, how many players you got already, and how many are you planning on getting?
So I currently only have 2 Man City players, De Bruyne and Haaland. In terms of other players, I'm definitely looking at Grealish, which was annoying because I was looking at him before this last game week in the Premier League as well. I think that Grealish is potentially this year's Mahrez and Gundogan. of like the past years, how we, there was always be that one Man City player that we, that more like kind of people don't look at as quickly as their main players like Aguero and De Bruyne, but has just consistently like had solid performances. Grealish since the World Cup is just a completely different player, isn't he? And so I think the stat was 9 goal involvements in 15 matches or something like that. So, which is just a night and day different compared to what it was before. A player that I am debating is because I need to make 3 transfers in defence, is potentially John Stones, because he's been playing as the centre mid lately. If he is playing in midfield again, and with his kind of threat from set pieces, I think it might be an interesting punt. But other than that, I think De Bruyne, Haaland, Mahrez, I think might still be in other people's teams. I just don't know how many Man City players other people would have other than Haaland at the moment, because I've not really looked at other people's teams.
I have Mahrez.
Are you going to keep him?
I think I have to.
I mean, obviously you'll see the lineup.
Yeah, I think I have to. I think I've got a forward that we're not talking about yet who's injured. I've got Mbappe who needs to come out. I've got a keeper that needs to come out. And then I'm sure I've got double Dortmund defence. yeah, so a bit. I think my 5 transfers are wrapped up, done and dusted. But it's obviously what I've been trying to look for, defenders. I'll be honest. I do think John Stones is essentially one of them that I'm looking at. I think it's a toss between him and Dawson's.
I've just had a look at the app. Selected by percentage currently, Haaland 61%, De Bruyne 21%. And then after that, it's players that I wouldn't have even thought. Ruben Dias, 19%. Edison, 15%. And then it drops way down. Mahrez, 6%. Foden, 6%. Bernardo Silva, 6%. Rodri, 5%. Alvarez, 4%. And then Ake, 3%. And then after that, everyone else is 1% owned.
Interesting.
So Grealish is 1% owned and John Stones is 1% owned.
We'll see if that's
the I
don't think I can get to any of the midfielders anyway. I think I just have to have Mahrez and I'm with Haaland. I mean, gratefully, Bayern Munich are a really good team. So on to Bayern Munich, obviously we've jumped back into Man City if we need to. But Bayern Munich,
changing manager.
Had a change in manager after a 2-1 defeat at Leverkusen. Since then, the 2 league games that they played, they've won. One of which was against Dortmund, they won 4-2. They were 4-0 up. They got knocked out of the cup, though. So that's important. A bit confusing. So for the 2 games that they played 2 different formations. So in the most recent game at the weekend, won 1-0. Mane's back. Havard played centre back. Gnabry got a start. Cancelo started right back, and that's with the Upamecano suspension. So that's why Havard came at centre back. Cancelo played right back. De Ligt got the goal. So not inspiring. Coman didn't start. He was the one that was left out. Yikes! The game before that, he started and scored. They played a 4-2-3-1, won 4-2, like I say, against Dortmund. Coman got multiple returns. He was all over it. Muller also got a goal. And in that game, Pavard played right back. So I think even with Bayern assets, you're not entirely sure who the hell's going to play where and what and how. And for me, I think Coman starts. And the reason why is because he didn't start this game. I think he's the one that's been rested because he's their best attacker. when they struggle, he's the best player. He's good against difficult opposition. A lot of the other players, we talk about this on the podcast all the time. So many good players are great against mediocre opposition. But there's just a certain group of footballers that against harder teams come to life, and Coman's one of them. So although I'm not expecting loads of returns from him, I do own him, and I think I'm going to be okay. I think he's going to start and cause Man City no end of problems. It's going to be a fascinating game, obviously, with the way that Man City set up now, with that box in midfield with the three defenders and their wide players constantly playing on the shoulder of the opposition's fullbacks. That's going to be wild with Alphonso Davies at left back. I don't think that Cancelo can possibly play right back. I just don't think you can do that to yourself on both sides, because Pavard surely has to tuck in at right back, even though he is very good at going forward as well, to be fair. I think Pavard is one of the most underrated footballers in the world. In fact, he plays centre-back, right-back, and he's legitimately the top five right-backs in the world. Like, I think if Reece James could sort himself out, Reece James is the best, like, in terms of injuries, Reece James is the best right-back in the world. Then you start looking at the players next. I don't see why Pavard isn't in that conversation. Like, he's so good. And he's very intelligent, so I think...
Got two goals in a match recently.
Yeah. And if he plays, Jack Grealish is going to have a much harder time against him than Cancelo. So, football moves quickly. It'll be interesting to see how that works out. But the midfield battle of Goretzka, Kimmich versus De Bruyne, Gundogan, because they're the two more advanced players, is absolutely beautiful. I cannot wait to watch that. I've got no real clue how it's going to go, because Southampton would have been like 2-0 up against Man City. I appreciate Man City actually missed a chance early doors as well. That's absolutely fair enough. But still at 0-0, Southampton had a couple of chances to go 2-3, 3-0 up. And if you do that against Bayern Munich, they're going to absolutely batter you. So I'm not too... I just don't know. All I can see is loads of goals. And I didn't see that with the PSG game. And I think 3-0 over two legs with the quality of player on the show is not that many goals. But for this, again, I can't see clean sheets. I can't see Ake or Stones getting a goal. I think that's fair. But I just can't see clean sheets. I just see goals galore. This could be... honestly, I think this is going to be like a 4-3 or something.
Interesting.
What do you think about it?
So, interestingly, when you look at everyone's Champions League form, these are the two teams with the best defences in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Which is mind-blowing. Also, Man City have scored 17 goals at home in the Champions League in 4 games. Obviously, Leipzig had a lot to do with that.
Yes, 7-1.
But they've only scored... they only scored in, obviously, 1-1 with Leipzig in the last away game, and then the 4-0 when they first started. And they did the same last year in the Champions League away as well, where they didn't actually score that many goals away from home. And Bayern Munich are the only team that have not conceded a goal at home in the Champions League.
Man City are at home in the game, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. But just in terms of goals galore, I just think it's interesting in the fact that Man City don't score much away from home in the Champions League, and then Bayern Munich don't concede a lot. So I think this is going to be the match which will make or break the tie. Because I don't see the... if it's really, really close, I think the next match won't have many goals in. Because both teams will be too scared to lose. with Tuchel coming in as well, if this defensive record was with Nagelsmann, and you're like, right, who? What's another defensive coach who could come and be more solid? Tuchel would be it. I don't know if he's had enough time to work with them yet, but when it comes to knockout competition, Tuchel against Pep, Tuchel's had the better of Pep recently as well. And I think that is the one of the reasons. Obviously, we knew Nagelsmann, there was some behind-the-scenes stuff going on, but I think that's the reason why they pulled the trigger so quickly, knowing that Tuchel was still available and his record against Man City in knockout competitions. Granted, Man City did absolutely spank Chelsea earlier this year in the FA Cup, but still, I think it's Tuchel coming in has made the tie a lot more close compared to if Nagelsmann was in, just because I think Tuchel has more experience playing against Pep's system, and getting the better of it. And so he'll have an advantage.
Sensible man, isn't he? Like, Tuchel will be like, oh, right, we've got four defenders. I picked four defenders. Let's defend. Yeah, whereas exactly. Nagelsmann's like, I know that you played defence for everyone else, but just do whatever you want, lads. Just crack on.
So in terms of, I think the right back is going to be massive. I think if Cancelo starts, Grealish is in my team, definitely. I think Grealish has Cancelo on toast most days of the week. How literal that is, I don't know. But in terms of Bayern Munich as well, Choupo-Moting is apparently not going to be fit in time for this match. So, which Mane I think is almost better for Bayern Munich. So that the fact that they, I think Gnabry or Mane or whoever they play as their striker, I think is better than Choupo-Moting. Obviously, the Champions League scoring form would argue against that. But in terms of this and Man City's style of play, knowing that you'll have more than just the two wingers, you'll have potentially three or four of them running at you at once with Musiala supplying them. I think that's going to be interesting, is Musiala and Muller, who is against Rodri. I think if it's Muller, I think Muller is more intelligent as a footballer than Rodri. So I think Muller will win most of the battles. Musiala will have the skill to get past Rodri, but I don't think he'll have the physicality in 9 out of 10 battles.
You see, I want to disagree. And the reason is, although I think Jude Bellingham is better than Jamal Musiala, I think Jamal Musiala now is probably on a par, at least, with what Jude Bellingham was the last time he faced. You remember when they faced each other in a round of 16 quarterfinal, Dortmund versus City, and Bellingham.
Oh yeah, yeah. Last year.
Was it last year or the year before? Man City went through, but Bellingham
absolutely, he scored in both games.
Ruined. He had a goal disallowed and he got booked. I don't know if you remember that. He scored a goal and got booked for a non-existent foul, I think, on Rodri.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I know which match you're on about. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think Musiala can get a lot of joy out of Rodri. I've said this about Rodri many times in the past, although I do think he's massively improved. And I think he's going to continue to improve. Rodri is another player like Cancelo, where when he's got to play Wolves and Burnley and Southampton and all these sorts of teams, he's comfortably one of the best, most important players on the pitch. When he comes up against a player or a team that actually poses a threat to Man City, he's really poor. That's the concern for Man City. And I think it's one of the reasons why Pep doesn't want to play with wide fullbacks. I think it's why he wants to play with that inversion to double up in there against good teams, because he comes unstuck in the Champions League when he plays against the best teams.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that then. You've changed my mind. I think the biggest question mark in terms of Man City's perspective, because obviously that is from Bayern Munich, if Cancelo or Pavard plays right back, I also think it's with Man City. Will Pep get cute which he often does in the Champions League, where he'll think way too much about the opposition and change the way that he plays. I think if Man City turn up at their best, which they have recently, I think they'll beat the best version of Bayern Munich. But I think, even though he said recently in an interview, Kyle Walker can't play this system anymore, do you not think Kyle Walker is potentially the player that you would want against Sané and Mane and...
100%.
So, but the thing is, I don't think Pep will, which I think favours then Bayern Munich. So and I know I'm cutting back and forth a lot, but that's what makes this tie so exciting, is that, and I think it is going to be decided in this first leg, because like I said before with the stats, I don't think the second leg will have that many goals in it. I think whatever happens in this match, either Man City will set up shop, or they'll just go out and try and dominate possession in the next match and win 1-0 or so. I think it's all to play for in this match. And that I'm excited to watch it. So I think in terms of my team, though, which is obviously where this all ties in towards, I don't have any Bayern Munich players currently, and I've only got the two Man City ones. Without a wild card, is it best to stay that way? What do you think?
I think it's worth getting in a Bayern midfielder, personally, because I think they've got just as much chance of going through. I think you're sort of even in the odds for when you get your next transfers for the next round for the semi-finals. If one of the, let's say Man City run out 5-0 or something, I don't think that'll happen, but let's just say it did, then you know you can get rid of that Bayern midfielder. I think obviously wait for the team news as always for the lineup. I think Coleman's probably going to, if Kyle Walker's not playing, whoever's playing left wing for Bayern Munich is the player that you should go for. I think it is that simple. If Kyle Walker is playing, then maybe go for the player on the other side, which would probably be Leroy Sané or Serge Gnabry. That'll be who's playing on the right, I think.
And it'll be Sané against his old team. I don't know if he's played them since he's left, but...
I don't think he has, because I don't think Bayern Munich haven't played Man City, have they?
I'm not sure off the top of my head.
I think it's
interesting as well, because Man City has a few Dortmund players, like ex-Dortmund players, like Akanji and Haaland.
Gundogan.
I think Gundogan's probably played them, but like still these players know the other team quite well. So I think it's really interesting.
Score before we move on.
Man City to win 3-2.
I'm going to go for 3-3. No, I'm not. I'm going to go 4-3 Man United. Man City even. Man United wouldn't beat Bayern Munich 4-3. Sorry.
And then I honestly think it's a 1-1 draw in the second leg. I'm just going to say, unless I see something in this match, like 1-1 in the next leg, I cannot see loads of goals in the next one. That's just me.
Okay. Next game. Right, okay, brilliant. So, on the Wednesday fixtures, Real Madrid versus Chelsea. This one should be shorter. Let us run through. So, Real Madrid, hot and cold, as ever, in their last 5 games, they've won 2, lost 2, and drawn 1. In the league, in the Copa del Rey, they lost the first leg 1-0 to Barcelona, then beaten 4-0 in the second leg. Ferland Mendy is injured at left back, so Nacho played at left back at the weekend, but I think there's rotation for that game. I think the league's pretty much gone. Camavinga has played there a lot at left back, but David Alaba could go at left back, because we do have the question, who's going to start between Rudiger, Alaba and Militao?
Alaba came off with a little bit of an injury this last game.
It was last night, wasn't it? It was a bit later on last night. I don't know much about
Which is why Militao came on. Because Militao was not one to play.
Spanner. I think Carvajal and Courtois are the most nailed options. Courtois will be my goalkeeper. He is coming in for, whether that be Vlachodimos or Onana, most likely Onana. I'll be bringing in Courtois. I just think he's going to be the one that's going to get the most clean sheets out of all the keepers left. And he's on the other side of the draw. So it had to be Real Madrid, Chelsea, Bayern, or Man City. So remember, whenever you're going to pick your second goalkeeper, make sure they are on the other side of the draw. So you'll have this problem in a couple of weeks' time.
Other side of the draw and play on the other day, the second day.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to run into the same problem next round.
Exactly. So it has to be, it had to be Real Madrid or Chelsea, basically, for us two. So you're going to go for Kepa or Mendy? Exactly. Benzema and Vinicius Junior are just musts. They're just goals galore, the pair of them at the minute. Benzema got a hat-trick against Barcelona. But Vinny's scoring.
Back hat-tricks, yeah.
He's getting assists. They're the two best players in the game, I think. Just get them. Just whatever it is, they're your two transfers. I don't care. They are your two transfers. Even if you've got to take a hit, I think you take a hit. That's how good they are. Gratefully, I own them both. So thank goodness for that. I also think you can gamble on Rodrigo. Rodrigo has been playing really well recently. Didn't have a great game last night by all accounts. But prior to that, played really well. He's getting in the goals as well. He's been playing right wing. Valverde's been dropped. He's played in centre midfield recently, but he's not been playing right wing since, I can't remember, but it was one of those two. They got beat twice at Barcelona recently, 1-2-1 in the league and 1-0 in the cup. And basically, he's not played right wing since one of those games. I can't remember which one it was. So I think Rodrigo as a midfielder, again, is a really good option. You want Real Madrid players, basically. You've just got a free roll of the dice against this Chelsea team. My notes for Chelsea, because they've, in the last five games, drawn 2, won 1, lost 2. Chelsea are shit. Chilwell and Kante rested for this game. They're my notes. I don't need to say anything else.
Other than a certain word, the only thing I've wrote different, literally word for word, Chilwell rested for this game, Kante rested also. The only thing I've wrote differently is, can Lampard do anything? Question mark, question mark, question mark.
Nothing outside of Chelsea either. Just can he do anything at all? are we allowed 5 players from each team now at this stage?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you can get the 5 Real Madrid players, do it. I think you need bare minimum double up on defence. When I say defence, I include the goalkeeper. You need Benzema and Vinny. And then it's up to you. Risk Rodrigo, risk triple defence, or play safe with Modric.
I don't think Modric is fit.
He played at the weekend, didn't he? Was it Camavinga, Modric, and Kroos in the middle?
Last time I read it, he was... since the international break, he's got a hip injury. 2 seconds.
Oh, I've clearly looked at the wrong game, Aaron.
He might have played. Like you said, it was late. No, he didn't play. Ceballos, Tchouameni, Asensio with it.
Oh, yeah.
Modric was on the bench. He did come off the bench.
That was it. Yeah, I remember looking at it going, what the F is that midfield? But yeah, he came on, didn't he?
And got a 4.1 rating.
I think that's harsh. He came off the bench.
Out of 5, though. On Google. Oh, on Google, it's out of 5.
Is it? All right, yeah. Then fair enough. The point stands. I think Modric is going to be a safe option. I can't see Tchouameni or Ceballos starting this game. I think in midfield, it's going to be 3 of Kroos, Camavinga, Modric, Valverde. I think that's kind of us. But I think Modric is probably the safest bet for the Champions League. If you get 5 players, get 5 players. End of story. Whatever whatever configuration that is with at least double defence and at least Vinny and Benzema, and sell every Chelsea player you've got. The one saving grace for Chelsea is Mr. Champions League and N'Golo Kante's back for them. But it'll be like his first game back, is it? Or his second game back?
Yeah, it's not worth it, is it?
Nah.
Too risky.
He's only human. And he's another year older.
The thing is, with like ball recovery points, with Real Madrid, I think Modric, like at any point, like I think Real Madrid's like midfield three will pass it around you, and it'll kind of be like a team effort to get the ball off rather than an individual player, which it can kind of do against most of the teams. I think Kante, you'll get maybe three or four is what I'm guessing, because the other midfielders, like Enzo, I think he'll get like two, like three or four as well, because it'll be a team effort to get the ball off the midfield three of Real Madrid, because that's how they beat most teams, is they pass you. They just pass it around you.
Yeah. Look, have I missed anything out?
No, the biggest thing I'm debating is Nacho, Rudiger or Militao is my defender that I bring in.
If you're going to punt Rudiger, because I think Rudiger's got the highest chance of scoring, and Nacho loves a yellow card.
Rudiger against the first time playing against Chelsea.
Yeah, I think that's when you said he's fit. So I'm just gonna play safe and go Carvajal.
Yeah, that's fair.
I still might play safe because you know what? In 2 weeks' time, I can't be arsed with this again. Like, Carvajal will play all the games at right back that he's fit. So,
yeah, like the thing is with like that team as well is that the defenders are so expensive. Like Nacho is the cheapest one at 5 million, but then Alaba 5.9. We know he's not fit. Militao, Rudiger 5.5, Carvajal 5.4.
That they're not bad prices for team that's in quarter finals, and also it's like they're the only defenders you expect to get clean sheets.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm just trying to think of like ball recoveries as well, like going off how much they've got at the moment. Rudiger has 32. I guess that makes my mind up. Nacho is 29. Militao 24. Carvajal 24.
Rudiger.
Yeah, I think he's Rudiger, isn't it? And he's got no cards so far in the tournament either.
Unbelievable stuff. Red card incoming. score line for this?
Real Madrid 3-0.
5-0. Milan versus Napoli.
Yes.
Two draws for Milan, two losses, but they did beat Napoli 4-0 away. Pick the bones out of that one. And then Napoli with two losses to Lazio and Milan and three wins. I'm going to let you go on about this game more than me. My one point is a point that I just wanted to repeat that I've made, I think, on like the last two or three of these, is that Napoli are outstanding at beating everyone that isn't like a really good team. When it comes to them, because they got beat off Inter at the start of the year as well, when it comes to playing like good teams, the struggle, but even in the groups, obviously the humiliated Liverpool in that first game, but then they did get beaten off them, and I think it's going too far to say comfortably in the last game. No Victor Osimhen for Napoli. No idea when he's going to be back.
Yeah, that's the most confusing thing about this match is he going to be fit? It is an abductor strain, which is what they've kind of confirmed. But also Simeone is injured as well. So Raspadori is potentially the only fit striker for the match. Obviously, he did quite well in the group stage, but Simeone and Osimhen are like the most dangerous attackers.
Yeah, Raspadori is a prime example of this good against dross But when he's, I don't think he's done anything against any good team, Raspadori, again, except for that first game against Liverpool, where in Liverpool were really bad as well, let's be honest. But other than that, he's not really done much against good teams.
So there's loads of conflicting media about this because Napoli want to make it look like they'll stage more of a threat to Milan, trying to have that confidence. I think potentially they're going to rush him back for the match. Apparently, according to One Football app, which we're not sponsored by yet, hopefully soon. But apparently Osimhen is training by himself. He's not started any team drills, but obviously they've got 2 days worth of training left. I think potentially they'll rush him back Tuesday training. But I don't think they should start him. Because basically how the match went last time was that Calabria just shadowed Cravadonna the whole match. Like, literally, AC Milan would move their formation around wherever Calabria was. I think, like, it was the least amount of touches that he's had all season. But it was, like, it wasn't just by, like, one or two. It was, like, significant. I think it was almost like a Haaland performance where he touched the ball, like, 3 or 4 times. It was, like, that kind of, like, crazy stat. It worked for Milan last time. I can't see them not doing it again. And so Calabria is going to be shadowing him. And I think it's going to be almost, can Napoli adapt and learn from that and try and do something different, especially if they don't have Osimhen as an outlet? Because that's why it happened last time, is that they had no other outlets. Zielinski tried his best. But obviously, there just wasn't, and he was creating chances, but there was no one there to actually for them to go to. And also, it was an inspired performance by Liao, who I think it's between Liao and Gonçalo Ramos for the punts, on terms of if Osimhen, do you stick with Osimhen or do you transfer him out? I'm leaning towards transferring him out for Ramos at the moment.
Me too.
So, and even if Osimhen plays, it's too much of a punt for me. Because I think his minutes could be managed, but with knowing that they go and have Napoli, that they have Milan at home next game.
I think as well, another reason, just in terms of Ramos versus Liao, Ramos plays first day.
Yeah.
So at least you know if he's done badly to sub him out.
Yeah, neither of them take penalties, so they don't have that going for them. And I think Liao, and we need to remember that Liao is out of position in the wrong way as well. He's a winger, like definitely a winger. And I don't see Napoli making the same mistakes twice, because like away from home, they've only conceded one goal since like the start of January. So like, it's a crazy stat. I think they'll be absolutely solid. I think they'll learn from the mistakes and they'll be a solid unit. Kim, I think, is a defender where if you need to make a transfer, 4.6 at the moment, I think he's a good kind of player to get and from any budget, especially if you're looking for a replacement for Bar. I think he's going to be good. I don't know which left back's going to play. I think that's always a big debate, whether it's Oliveira or Rui. I think Oliveira's preferred in the Champions League, but with AC Milan, Rui played the last time.
And they got beat
4-0. Honestly, in terms of the match, I think there's going to be tons and tons and tons of ball recoveries up for grabs for midfielders. But it depends how you play the match. if you want to go punts in match in day one, and then just try and get, maybe if your person doesn't come off, like if you get Coleman and he only gets 2 points, all you would need is potentially a couple ball recoveries to get like up to 4 points to beat that. So it depends how you like to play. Because I can't see many midfielders scoring out of the ones available in this match.
How are Milan doing?
Not very well. I think the best way to kind of look at the whole match is Napoli's loss to Milan was kind of like an outlier result. Like, don't read too much into it. And then also for the AC Milan, it was an outlier result. Don't read too much into it.
Okay.
So take that result out of context, and it gives us a very different look for both teams. I think the only reason that we are looking so much into it, I think it's similar to like Liverpool's massive win over Man United, where it came out of nowhere, but then it quickly went back to what they were. I think that's going to be the case with both Napoli and Milan. The biggest thing that Milan did was they switched to a back four rather than having three at the back with wing backs. I think if we get any word that they're going to switch back to a back four again, they're going to be a lot more solid defensively because they play with two defensive midfielders. I think the one player who potentially we might need to look at is Diaz, because he was outstanding against Napoli last time. He scored one and assisted, but he was just, everything that he was doing was working against Napoli's three defensive midfielders. They couldn't get close to him. So he's potentially like a very punty option for the second day. But overall, though, Milan aren't doing too great. The manager's under pressure and they aren't doing too great of a job in terms of sticking with the top four race. They're dropping off quite quick. And but in terms of this match, when you look at all the stats, I think we are focusing a little bit too much on that Napoli match. I don't think Milan do the same thing. I think Napoli will win both legs.
Any injuries or anything like that from Milan or Napoli that we've missed out?
Other than Osimhen and Simeone, I didn't see any. For AC Milan, they're kind of, Giroud might not be fully fit because they played Origi on the weekend, who got booed off the pitch. Ibrahimovic has been having a few minutes here and there, so they might not have a recognised striker as well. But in terms of that, I don't think there's...
Who was the striker in the 4-0?
Giroud.
Decent. If he's not there, then scoreline.
I'm gonna go for this match 2-2.
Okay.
I'm joking. I've just remembered. I said Napoli would win both legs. 2-1 to Napoli.
I'm gonna go just 1-0 Napoli. Boring, boring game of football. This for me. That's what I think. We're done. Yay! How was that? Nice and painless?
I mean, we might have to jump on another Zoom.
Not for the listeners. No, we're going to finish it up so we don't have to jump on another Zoom meeting. So thank you very much, everyone, for watching or listening. You can find us on Twitter at UCL Fantasy Pod, all the places where you can normally listen to podcasts, and, of course, YouTube. If you're looking at us now, we will see you next time.